He can't remember the last time he saw her so still. It was a joke between them, her inability to stop wriggling, his jack-in-the-box. Countless times he's stopped a jiggling knee by laying his palm on it, or stilled her tapping fingers with his own. Even her eyebrows had a life of their own, reacting to the world's mysteries like expressive windscreen wipers on a clip art car. What he wouldn't do now to see her fidget beneath the paper-thin hospital gown drowning her tiny frame. A shrug of a shoulder, a wrinkling of her nose, a point of her toe. Anything. But she is stonily still. Her feet like carved alabaster, looking pale and somehow smaller than usual. The green crepe of the robe barely masks the outline of her breasts, the swell of her stomach, the dip of her pelvis. As he watches her chest rise and fall, he feels an overwhelming urge to cover her with his jacket to keep her warm, an instinct from 1,001 nights on the sofa when the wriggling finally stopped, her head lolling dead on his shoulder, which told him she was asleep. His cue to pull the Scottish wool blanket over her and flick over to the football highlights. A nurse brushes past him. She is focused and diligent. He moves aside to give her room, whispering a barely audible sorry in her direction. She shoots him a quick, kindly look over her shoulder, a look that says, "What have you got to be sorry for? I'm sorry for you." She's joined by another younger nurse, a trainee, who falters for a second when she sees the state of the patient lying in front of her. She becomes aware of the man standing in the corner but avoids making eye contact, afraid that the pain he is radiating will burn her. He watches the nurses inspect, then reattach the half-empty drip, moving in practice synchronicity, keeping time with the rhythmic accompaniment playing from the machines. Whir, beep, click. Whir, beep, click. When they are finished, they glide away in tight formation, leaving a space for him to move into. But he doesn't make his move at first. He can't. He's trapped in the middle of a dance, and he hasn't been taught the steps. Slowly, he edges closer to the bed, focusing on his wife's mouth. One part of her that, despite the cold plastic dummy forcing her teeth apart, seems almost unaltered. That freckle on her top lip, which she insisted was a beauty spot. That tiny scar on her chin cleft from the roller skating disco at Alexandra Palace. If he were to shut his eyes tightly enough, he could transport that mouth to 1,000 happy, hopeful places. He tries to ignore the blue and yellow hard collar that had been fitted around her neck. He remembers someone saying about immobilizing the spine.